Angeles, thank you for this day, and then speak and, out of a lot of mercy and a lot of grace. In your son's name, amen. Okay. So, I want to, the book of Judges, chapter 8. I'm going to read, if you wanted to turn there, or I can read it. In verse 33, it says, and this is New American Standard, he said, as soon as Gideon was dead, the Israelites turned again and played the harlot after the Baals and made Baal-berith their god. You know, and I'm kind of saying, they forget you when you're gone. As soon as he died. And honestly, the book of Judges could be really, it's most noted for, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. But honestly, you could title it, They Forget You When You're Gone. Because they literally had just come through with Moses and Joshua, and now they're living in this promised land, and literally, look at, this is a great picture of what happened the entire, Judges chapter 8, and then verse 33. So Gideon had saved them. They hated life. Gideon came and saved them from the Midianites, and it was like horrific. They loved it. But as soon as he was dead, they're done. They're turned. And then 34, the sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. So Gideon's dead. Whatever. God is. I don't even remember. I don't even remember who God is. And then the next verse. Neither did they show kindness to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, in return for all the good that he had done for Israel. And really, Jerubbaal, that name means he was a Baal fighter. He was a God fighter. So they didn't even show kindness to his family. So forget Gideon, forget God, and forget his family. And honestly, some things like that, that scares me. There are times when even the world understands this. You know, World War I, remember the Lusitania. There was this idea of, like, remembering something in order to be motivated. We would say, you know, even the Bible would say, remember Lot's wife for motivation, because it's very easy to kind of fall into that. And I was thinking, there are so many things that the world knows. And God actually put in the Ten Commandments. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Then when Christ was around, he had the Last Supper, and he said, this do in remembrance of me. Like, God was putting things in place because he knew man. But he said, remember the Sabbath day. Now, we would say, what do you mean, like, remember the Sabbath day? Just remember. It'll be very easy to forget that Sunday is a day that you should think about me, and that you keep it holy, and that, you know, you come and hear the word of God. Now, when I'm in the flow, I don't actually need that remembrance. What I need to, my memory becomes more of a meditation. Like, I don't have to say, Marcellus, could you remember to take Shalia home? You know, things become a meditation. You know, Susan, when you go to bed, make sure that, remember you have a daughter. You don't say that every night, right? Oh, shoot. I mean, it's cute stories. My brother got married, different ones. When you first get married or whatever, you remember you're married. You can say that to Gwen. Remember you're married, because sometimes a husband will break bad. I'm going to do this and that type of thing. And you'll hear that. And I've learned through the years, I get quiet because I'm just like, and, you know, quietly. Like, I need to check with my wife. Okay. But because remember you're married and decisions are joint, you know, and that they, you know, in the sense of considering the other person, at least. So the remembering. But after a while, that becomes, if it's done correctly, you're in court if you don't remember your daughter, right? You find yourself, that's when welfare comes, social services come. You're not remembering. That baby was crying for days. Did you not remember that you had a child? We had someone in another Bible study I did in another place when she, you know, didn't go into depression. when you get married, when you have a baby sometimes. And she went into intense depression. So she took the baby, and the baby was in a, like, you know, little thing, and then put the baby under the bed. And then she went about her life. And thank God her sisters and whatnot, you know, helped her, and she was fine and raised the child. But there was a period of time she didn't want to see that baby. She didn't want to remember that she had had a baby. You know, she didn't want to, whether she was married, whatever, she just didn't want to remember. So this is, but this is, I forget you, I forget, you know, I forget the people around that I should remember. This is a disease, ladies and gentlemen, ladies, no gentlemen, but this is a disease. Because it's, and it's one that we should probably take shots against every now and then. Because it is fascinating to me that, you know, have you ever had that where you, maybe you've loved someone as a friend and you have maybe done so much for somebody, and then it's been not, it was just a short time later and it was as if you had never done anything for them. I think everyone here has experienced that. You know, you just, you've given them a lot. You gave them everything. And it was like they didn't remember. And it can gut you. I mean, it's gutting. Because you would want them to remember. You don't want them to remember because you, they owe you something. But in a sense, you, they do. The relationship is what is owed. It is like, you don't owe me to be like, you know, whatever. But should there not be this relationship? You know, God said, he said, should not a people seek unto their God? Meaning like, haven't I done all of these things? And we have had that with each other, with human beings. And if Gideon could speak from the grave, he would say, how could you so soon forget what I did for you? This is troubling. Did it not matter? You know, it's kind of like, there is a writer who puts it, Alexander McLaren, and he puts it this way, that I go to the, I have cancer, I'm sick, and the doctor helps me, and I, and miraculously I'm healed, and then I argue the bill. And I just say, stinking bill. Well, you were going to be dead a year ago, you know, but you're going to argue the bill? You forget? He was your best friend. Now you're yelling at him. It's easy, it's a disease, the forgetfulness. It's very basic for us. And so there has to be a practice. I remember the days of old, your works I meditate, O Lord. Psalm 143. You know, it's like I have to, you know, meditate. The meditation is a lot of remembering. I would not forget. One of the reasons why we believe and we say that one of the spiritual disciplines is to have a time before God every morning, it's because he helps me remember. There are times I get in front of God in the morning and I say, I don't really know. I'm so dead tired. I'm so out of my mind. I'm so consumed with what's on my mind, with what I'm thinking about, that I don't remember my own quiet prayers from the day before or the week before or how, or my own thoughts. And so a lot of times I have to come in like, God, this is messy. But God, he's God. So I need him. Help me to remember what's important here. Because otherwise my focus will be on what I think is important. And I could completely wash away an entire quiet time. Or I can go to a church service. And literally, I got something on my mind, I'm so whatever. And have you ever had that? The whole church service is over, and you just kind of wonder what hit you, what happened, where was I? You know, everyone else seems really happy, but church is supposed to be a place where I can come to, and my burdens can be given to God, and in exchange, he can give me so much more. But I have come, and I put my burdens, brought them in the door, made spaces for them in the pews, and then I kept my eye on them the whole service. Rather than to hear from God and look for that one thing he could say to me that could release me. There is a remembrance. That's why we remember. God wanted us to give, he wanted to give us a fighting chance. Remember the Sabbath day. Get in there. I want to talk to you. Otherwise, you're going to be consumed with stuff and the wrong stuff, and you're going to forget. You're going to forget stuff. You're going to forget what I spoke to you. There are some people who write their prayers down. Now, I'm not a writer, but I understand it, and I believe in the principle. Because it's embarrassing sometimes before God when he answers something, and then I'm like, later on, way after it's over, I remember that I asked for it. To me, that's embarrassing. That's like a child who gets something at Christmas, puts it aside, and then sometime in February remembers that they asked for the bike. And they were kind of a jerk at Christmas. Parents slaved away, stayed up all night, worked extra jobs secretly so that they could have the bike. Now, God is not working that, but he delights to bless me. Now, what if I'm so, capricious that he blesses me? You know, it's almost like, God is loving me and he brings me a nice lily. And I'm like, what's that? I don't even look at it. I go about my business not realizing that days before I had been around lilies. I'm like, oh, I would love to have a lily. See, my memory stinks. And I thank God that he remembers. I also love about God that whatever, he doesn't necessarily live upon my memory, but he remembers. He remembers what I said I wanted. Because my memory will catch up. Sometimes, if I'm walking with him, I could be embarrassed in a good way. In February, remembering that, oh my gosh, you are amazing. You did answer that for me. Remembering years later that you did do that for me. But the thing is, God could easily have forgotten. He could just have pushed it aside and said, you deserve it. You don't even remember it. But he doesn't do that. In this kindness, in this sweetness, he gives me things, and seemingly I'm not sure why this thing is given to me, and I don't even think of it as a great thing, and then later on I remember that years ago I asked for this. And a really horrible child says, well, I didn't want it anymore. And we say a really horrible child because all that is just base carnality. That's the flesh. No, you wanted it. You said it in the moment. And he gave it. We would say that would be horrible. A wife gets a special gift from the husband. He spends whatever. She's asked for this. And then all of a sudden, she says, long time later, I don't want that anymore. And we would say, that's horrible. Even if you don't, understand the thought that went into it. Understand the love that went into it. One of the things early on, I remember, and when I was in school, was to begin to ask God, you give me what you think I should get, because I realized I was asking for things, and he would sometimes give them, and other times he said no or whatever, but then I realized, my gosh, I don't even want this thing. It's ridiculous. He knows me better than I know myself. But he remembers the right thing. So he remembers what is best for me, and he remembers what I really want. That's amazing. The remembrances of God. I really, I just appreciate him for that. I have to. I get scared. You know, there's the scariest moment if you have ever had a loved one grow old around you is when they begin to really lose their memory. And you fear that day when they won't remember you. And you walk into the room and you know that they no longer remember who you are. Now, Scott, he comes up here from time to time. He's about to marry again, but his first wife, I remember that moment when I walked into her nursing home because we had been good friends. And then I knew she didn't know me anymore. And I remember thinking, you know, what now? What now? She no longer knows me. Because she used to smile, and just for a few minutes that I could spend with her. But there's that thing where, I don't want it to be that. I can get that way with God. I don't remember him. He'll be faithful. I will wake up one day, and I will be in heaven in glory land, and I will remember then. Or maybe around my deathbed, I'll remember then. Or how about this, 20 years from now, but it has been an ugly 20 years. And I remember him. but it has been a pretty 20 years. The prodigal son, he's sitting among pigs, and he remembers. And he goes back, but what a waste of that time. He remembers. But a waste of time. I don't want to waste that time. I can get caught up so much. But I need, but God would have me, if you look up how often God told his people to remember, remember, remember. And we kind of take it for, some. I can see it. Sometimes I'm talking to someone and I just kind of take it for like, you know, if they remember it, they remember it. If they don't, they don't. And then I'm fascinated by that. Why? Why do you think that's okay? This is the God who has done everything for me. He said, actually, and this is, and I'll read this, but in Exodus 13:3, he said to the people, remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. So as they were leaving, God had saved the Israelites from the land of Egypt, okay? He had put plagues on and he saved them, and he hurt the Egyptians and the people were on the way out. And he made them say, from now on, every time around this year, you're going to eat this certain bread so it'll help you remember what I did for you. You know? And I did a bridal shower recently, and I was saying that I've had someone who used to always say to me, like, why does God need to be worshipped? And I said, maybe I can't answer that, but I can tell you I need to worship him. And you could say, well, why does God need to give me all these little things? The Jews have all these holidays to remember. Well, why does God need me to remember him? Well, I need to remember him. It's like, it's not, there are so many Jews that don't really understand all the things that have happened. And, you know, we're going to Jerusalem, and there's a Christian part of Jerusalem, and there's obviously craziness and everywhere else. So that's a problem. Usually if God tells something like that, there's a reason for it. So we say, oh, I don't need to remember that. But remember, I just read, we get to the book of Judges, and it only, oh, remember your grandfather used to do that. Oh, he did? I don't remember. You see, we're so easy, we're prone to it. It's an interesting verse, if I saved it. But in Deuteronomy 32:7, he said, remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generation. And this is what I like. It says, ask your father, and he'll tell you. And ask the people older than you, and they'll tell you. Because it's so easy to forget. And that was Deuteronomy 32:7. But remember. So Moses tells them, as they're leaving, he tells them, okay, guys, I want you to remember this. So now every year you're gonna eat this meal. But this is where it gets interesting. So then, when the people are in the desert, this is what they said in Numbers 11:5. We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt. We remember the cucumbers and the melons and the onions and the leeks and the garlic. That's what we remember. And, you know, we're reading, and I'm reading it, and I want to scream into the Bible, into history, and say, you idiot, but you were a slave. You were treated like dirt. What are you talking about? God gave you your freedom in such a grand way. You've had manna every day. God has fed you. Your clothes have never gone out. But you want me to remember this? This is what I remember. I remember how hard that situation was. I'm reversing it now. God says, remember the greatness and the goodness and what have you. And that was Deuteronomy 15:15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. So Moses says, hello, you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this day. Like, remember this. Remember this. Remember the truth. And that was something that I've been thinking about. Like, remember the real truth. this is, you were, oh, I remember leaks, and I remember this and that. Oh, really? So that's how you think, you don't remember what he took you out from. Or how about, and you don't remember how this, you think you know how this really happened? Do you? Do I? It's so easy. A child starts off with it like an hourglass, and this is not original with me, but I love it. And it's like they have a lot of a little bit of memory and a lot of hope. An older person has a lot of memory and a little bit of hope. Do you understand the difference? But here's the thing. The big problem is that when you don't put God in the memory, that's what you get. I have a journey as a memory. My life has been a journey. The what I remember is the journey. Whatever you thought, my life, either something God did one thing to bring me somewhere. Either he has been so precious. He either made something a desert so that I would know what an oasis. As I was walking here, I was drinking in the summer. But I drink in the summer. I'm not like in California where they expect it to be that way. I drink it in. I drink it in because you and I know that fall and winter are coming. God does that with our lives. Everything. And also, and I really love this picture. All of this caught me this morning as I was just meditating on all of this, because I just, like, memory is interesting. And it can be very twisted. But, like, when you're in this, like, here, okay, I'm here. If you put me on Princess Street and I'm walking around, I'm like, okay, there's York. But you put me, say, in a low-flying plane over, and it's beautiful. And I don't see that. And honestly, the same way, the further away, if you're on a boat, you get from the shore, the more beautiful the shore. I don't realize that beach has rocks all over it, and you can't, and those seashells where you can't walk on, you know, those beaches, which are basically useless beaches. You can't lay out on them. They're painful. You know, I don't remember that. Oh, by the way, that water was really cold. I don't remember that. What I see is beauty. And so, in one sense, I remember the illusion of what I was. You can call that an illusion, but God is the perfect illusion. And meaning, like, God wants him, but he's not an illusion. That's the reality. The memory of whatever bad thing, God was there. God is in it, and I am the better. You can hate it, you can whatever. Bottom line is, I am the better person for it. You have no idea how horrible that situation could have been. Every once in a while, God gives me a glimpse into how horrible something could have been. Sometimes I was, I read something, I don't know, however many days ago, because I've been doing a lot of reading. But, you know, sometimes you're in church and you're like, wow. So some people will not go to a church because they say those people. Well, you should still go to the church Christ did, because sometimes you can be with a person and you can learn from them what not to do as much as you can learn what to do, right? That's what I tell our kids. Like, I'm not going to shield you from stuff. You learn what not to be, okay, as much as you learn what to be. Well, you know what? Honestly, the memories, that's the idea of, like, I learn and I see the devastation that could have been my life. And honestly, if anything, our memories should be getting sweeter, and it should be making the hope more certain. The hope of a child may be full, but it's based on nothing. The hope of adult should be also full, but it should be based upon certainty. I know who God is. I don't know how this situation, where it's going to be or whatever, but I know that I would not be sitting here without God. So good, bad, indifferent. Yes, it's troubling. Yes, it's whatever, but he has always been in the past. Why would he not be in my future? I think there's more I could say, but I just want to dwell on that a little bit. That it's important. The most shallow people are the ones who don't have a memory, right? A goldfish has a, 6-second memory? Just enough to circle the bowl once. You know? They're kind of silly, in a sense. It's hard when somebody has, also when you're dealing with somebody getting older, it's hard when they don't have a memory. Because the memory is the foundation. You build on it. Your memories are great. There's that period of time before someone becomes incredibly forgetful where there's such richness because you've been through everything together. You have a history. Like I said, the moment I walked in and realized I wasn't remembered anymore, where can you... Now I get to sit and that's one... But it's one-sided. We don't have anything. But when I can remember, you know, what I've been through, when I can remember, that's that foundation. That's solid. But I have to be careful that my memory is not allowed to be tainted. That I'm not remembering leeks and onions and what have you, and that's acceptable. It's insulting to God. I know that. I know that He sits and He's God, but it's insulting. You remember all the good of the bad, and then when you see good, all you remember is bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God get all that you shouldn't of sin. You remember what you think is good, leeks, onions, and whatever. And then when God shows us real good, I pick out what I think is bad. Which bad is anything that affects me and that I didn't like. But that's ridiculous. If a child did that, if a child, I make a meal for them, and it also has peas, but has their favorite, everything else, and they say, that was a ridiculously awful meal. And you're like, why? You see those peas? Did you see those peas? But it's Thanksgiving, and they were one dish on the table. Honestly, a child might be punished with that type of thought. You're at grandma's time. How'd you like your meal? That's a great peas. Great. Great. For me, I'd be in my room. You know? But we can be like that. God's spreading a table. I'm the better for what, like I said... Some of that comes about when God lets me have a glimpse into what I could have been. And sometimes you get that. You meet friends or family members and you realize, oh my gosh, wow. And you're not saying it in a self-righteousness, but you're in shock. Because really, I could be that. And honestly, when we were vacationing, I enjoyed every bit of the vacation. But when you look at the vacation of these people, they were just horrific. It's like, my gosh, I'm so like, because that's not my normal people I hang around. You know, they're not that shallow. They're not just that. This is their whole life. And as we were driving in that rainstorm, and it was pretty intense. But I was thinking to myself, a lot of people on this road, their lives are ruined right now because their vacation week is ruined. Because this is all they have. They put everything they got into it. I enjoyed my vacation, but, you know, it's all good. Whatever. It's not my life. But this is their life. But I could see their unhappiness. It's not even that you could say that the reality is they're not happy. So, yes, my things, maybe I don't like certain things, but I have to be careful about what I remember. I need to ask God for understanding. That's the last thing I want to say. You have a memory, you don't like it, ask God for understanding. It's an interesting verse in Psalm 106, verse 7. It says, our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindnesses, but they rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. It said, they did not understand your wonders. That's an interesting word. It's like they didn't get any prudence out of it. The ability to see what is good about something. They couldn't figure out the good. And because they didn't get that type of understanding, Psalm 106, verse 7, but because they couldn't get that kind of understanding, it made them not remember, and they rebelled. Horrific. If I have a memory I don't like, do you really think God wants me to live in that memory? I recently had something that it bothered me for a while. And I finally was like, okay, and I took it, I presented to God, you tell me what to think about this. And then he gave me the word. That's like, okay, now that's my memory. All that does is take the wrinkles out of the face of the memory. It puts a smile upon the lips of the memory. It makes it right now to me because I have understanding. It's not like he went into detail in the memory. The understanding I have is that he showed me prudence. The idea of it is intrinsic good. He showed me the good in it. He showed me the good in it. And then it's okay. Matthew 16:9. Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you picked up? It's like, do you not understand? You don't remember the loaves? Because do you not remember and understand? Like, I just did this. I just fed the 5,000. Do you not think I can do it again? You know, it's one of those things where I have to really meditate and think about that. I need understanding. Because if I get understanding, like I said, then the good is in the memory, and it allows me to have a greater hope for my future. God is in there somewhere. I must find him in it, or else I will have bitterness instead of him. I'm not saying that God is not going to be like in my bedroom, and when I ask him, I put a quarter in him, and my answer comes out, and I get a great, he tells me everything on why something happens. I have a lot of questions that will be answered in heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. But can he show me that there is good here? Can he show me that? Why would he withhold that from me? God would never withhold when he could show me good. And I can ask that question. And then the memory is what it should be. It doesn't mean I know what the ins and outs. It just means it's good. That's all that matters. Last year, you know, it was a school year, and it was a tough one. You know, at convention, you know, I was standing at our booth, and Pastor Shabelli, the missions director's nearby, and was talking with somebody. And he said, yeah, I used to be a principal of a Christian school and different things and whatever. He said, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. Harder than being on a mission field for so many years, harder than pastoring. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And I thought, amen, I agree. It was hard. There's just a lot of things. It's a constant place of understanding, misunderstanding. You're always putting out fires, what have you. But the thing is, you lose people, you know? But the memory, as I go through, or else there is not a proper forward-looking, is there is goodness there. Our God was good to us. He was good to me. You know, he is good. And if I'm not careful, I won't remember or understand, and then I will rebel. And I'll miss it. And maybe someone from somewhere else would say to the Israelites, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? You were a slave. You're free now. What is it that you don't remember? how is it that you don't remember all the major miracles that God did? I can excuse my friend Dee for not remembering because her mind at that time was deteriorating. But I pray that our minds don't deteriorate, because we are not able to be excused. We have our faculties. With each other, let us remember our friendships and our love for each other. With God, let us remember Him. And for those that we owe a debt of love, of remembering, much like the people who owed Gideon, let us remember them, because there's honor in that. And God will bless us. He just will. Let us remember the things we should remember. Because we didn't get anywhere without it. We didn't get anywhere without our experiences. And if you say, yeah, but my experience could have been better, then I say, I'm sorry, but you have no understanding. Only a fool has no understanding. A fool continually, the foolish, I forget the verse, continually reproaches God. Continually says something, you know, because he has no understanding. Ask him for it. He can give it. Amen. Okay. Any comment or question or?
These things, they were bad, they hurt, they were terrible. But then it's like, why wouldn't we go to him for understanding? And he can put something good where the bad was. And I'm like, wow, like, so I've been missing out all this time because I don't even want to visit it when you just want to bless me, you know? And I think, like, maybe, you know, the first school year could have been like a desert at times, a lot. And I think, like, today when I was there and I was just looking around at all these, like, new heads and, like, looking at these two and just seeing that, like, everything was so peaceful, it felt like an oasis. And I was just, like, thanking God that, like, you know, we could have said we're done, like, we quit, we give up, like, things were so hard, or people left and, you know, there was a lot of hard times, but we just, you know, we had hope. And I think a lot of us, we struggled personally and then corporately, and we all, it's just nice to know, like, there's a mixture of the new and the old, and God's like, you know, I'm not done yet, and thank you for not giving up, you know? When you look at these kids, and you can think maybe they're living some things that are going to be bad memories, and it's like, okay, like, we continue, and they will have something good.
Yeah, we create another memory that we didn't quit, you know, that we didn't. Like, I mean, they don't, most people don't know, even very few would not know. I mean, I'm kind of being, you know, frank here in the setting, but, you know, I mean, how many near times I nearly walked away last year? They're not going to know that, you know, but, like, no one's fault, just very close. I mean, incredibly close. Like, could smell it. And to say that, okay, no. You know, because this is what God has said and what have you. And you're right, I do believe there's a little bit of oasis in the sense of watching that. But because we don't know how much hinges on those decisions. So now I have the memory of that. But, you know, I want to say the other side of that. What if I have the memory of my own failure? Then ask God for understanding. Because, honestly, He will show me the good. He will show me His goodness. He will. But the memory has to be trained. It cannot be allowed to be a disobedient child. Because it will destroy me. You know, I mean, I talk, you know, we tell the kids because I want to make sure they're on point. But I have talked to some homeless and who I remember even this past holiday when we did the homeless thing, I was talking to this one lady and she's got family. And she chooses not to. She, I mean, she's there's a definition, I'm doing whatever I want. But some of her family she was talking about, well, I don't want to be with them, whatever. And I thought, that's interesting. I wonder how good that memory is right now. Because the reality is, you should not be here. You should not be here. That memory of hers isn't right. You know, maybe the offense was the offense. But that memory's not right. And God wants to be in that memory. Because it led her to a rebellious decision. You know? That memory should not be allowed to be that disobedient child that gets to what have you. And then if left untamed, it wants to destroy me. But God made that memory for so many things. You know, like we remember the smell of a rose. You know, remember the smile of a child. I have a memory of Williamsburg. And everything changes in a moment. I remember when I was delirious. I'm on the Outer Banks Road. And I'm like, what is this, God? Are you serious? Did I hear you? At that point, all of our money had been spent at that place. And I was like, is this for real? And then, you know, I'm not kidding. 24 hours later, I was sleeping in a plush bed. An incredible situation. I'm just saying that's a good picture, you know, and then you can talk to someone like, do you remember? Because I want to remember the journey. Because in a moment, God has the ability to change something. We get all emotional, whatever, and some things are really hard and they're big decisions and maybe they affect us, maybe they change our lives. But I am saying that there is good there and I need understanding. Because it's not, you know, it's not always going to be that, but there is. And I think that if I do that, then I will be careful with my own memory, even with other people. Because if I remember, I said those people forgot Gideon, they forgot God, and they forgot his family. Then I will be careful because I will have a tender, better memory. For other people as well. I will. I'll choose to remember that. You know. I have said this before, but I believe it's Clara Barton who was had these people against her. And somebody says, oh, there they are. You remember those people and what they said? And she said, I definitely remember deciding to forget that. I definitely remember choosing to forget that. Isn't that amazing? I remember choosing to forget. And so I want to choose to remember what I should and choose to forget what I should. And then you have relationships and things that will go through the years and people will be allowed to be people. People will have a freedom to be who they are. Meaning, like, they'll be able to fail around you and even fail for a good period of time. You know? But they'll be allowed to be people. And you'll have a sweet memory of when you allowed it. Sometimes they won't even see it because they'll be so different that they won't see you know, like I look at some of our kids and they don't see how changed they are, you know, and then you just, and I think God looks at that, us, and we can look at other people that way, that we are so changed. They are so changed. And I can remember that. That's a good memory. You know, that because now it tells me God still changes things. You know, I was at the bridal shower, I did say this, you know, I've seen miracles this year. Miracles. Absolutely. Mind-boggling miracles. So, in the midst of that, so I choose that. You never, I'll say this final thing, you will never get to the miraculous if you cannot have a memory of the good. You just can't. There's no setup for it. But when you have a memory of what have you, like, then anything's possible. And I'll end with a non-Bible verse. But if anyone's ever seen that cartoon, The Incredibles, and the boy sitting in the yard, and the day before he had watched Mr. Incredible, like, lift a car, and now he's on his tricycle sitting and just watching him. He goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "What are you waiting for?" "I don't know. Something incredible." Because he had seen something. So when we have the good, we are waiting. You are waiting for the miraculous, for the incredible. You just, why not? Of course, why not? I'm a walking miracle. I'm walking, talking. So why not? Why not expect the incredible for all of it? It's not like I could have done any. You know, the Israelites could have walked this way, and I don't say this in condemnation because I know in my own heart. God forgive me, you know. But they could have walked in through the desert saying, "Oh, that's going to happen. That's going to happen." Why? Because they had seen the incredible. They're like, you know, well, what's going to happen? You have no food for tomorrow. I don't know. Something's going to happen, though. Well, how do you know? Because this, you know. Yesterday, something incredible happened. Why wouldn't something incredible happen today? They could have had kind of that bravado, that kind of like, you know, of course, that's what's going to happen. Something's going to happen. I don't know. Not presumption, but just, God put me here, whatever, but it's a bravado you have, because why not? It could have. And I think God would have loved that. And there are certain ones in the Bible who did have that at times. And, you know, Elisha, after he had the mantle from Elijah, he starts walking around. He needs to get over this creek. He just goes, bam, and he walked through the lake. This is what's supposed to happen. I've got the mantle. Meaning like, okay, so basically this is a real quick story. Elijah is a prophet of God. His mantle, the thing he wears, he goes up. God takes him in a chariot to heaven. But this other man is left on the earth. He picks up his mantle. It's like, well, it belonged to him. He was a man of God. He was amazing. Puts that puppy on, says, "I'm out of here." You know? And then he's got that. It's like, bam, bam, bam. You know? It's like everything, you know, it's kind of like, of course, these things should happen. And I think that God delights in that. Not my low expectations based on my retarded memory. It's true. You know, I get older, my expectations of God keep getting lower and lower. But he's like, "All the silver and gold is mine. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I made you. I formed you. I formed the world." And I keep going, "Well, you know, I understand that, God. You know, you're pretty big. You're amazing, God." You know? "Oh, really?" So that's why I need my memory. I need it washed. I have this idea, God, this is not correct. Wash my memory. Wash me. Show me. Wash it. Show me the good. So that I can see the great. Show me the good so that I can see the great.
Can I say something?
Sure.
So I'm just deeply grateful for
you and this Bible study and being able to walk so closely with you through various things. But it's just been very interesting, like, kind of knowing sometimes some of the behind-the-scenes things, like last year or whatever, and some things can be very hard, and, like, these types of spiritual principles is just really are incredibly impressive, because I remember you did a Bible study, like, a couple years ago in Baltimore with some of the Bible college students. And Laura was there, and you shared a Bible study about cleaning out the trash can. And you said, yeah, like, we have to take out the trash, and that's great, and it stinks in the house, you take it out. But once in a while, like, you really need to clean out the trash can, too, because the trash can really begins to stink. Like, all the juice from the garbage is rotted out and all that stuff. And I remember Laura being so flabbergasted by that concept. Like, you totally delivered her, like, you gave her I don't know, just a new way to think about things, and it was like God really spoke. And I remember thinking about that. I have somebody I highly respect who's been walking with God for decades. I have Laura, who's been a missionary in Asia for 20 plus years and just going for it, and I'm thinking, like, why did this mean so much to these two people that I highly respect? And but now, like, seeing as we walk with God, and like our group is kind of interesting, like, just like being transparent, like, we love very hard, we're kind of like in it, like, in deep, and so it makes us very vulnerable to get hurt really badly because we're giving a lot. And so it seemed so easy to get bitter and seemed so easy to say, like, why are we doing this? Like, why? And watching you kind of throughout last year and into this year, and just, like, all the situations, the phone never stops ringing, the emergencies never stop happening, and it's, and you're tired, and it's kind of like, but learning, like, this kind of mindset just, like, now I understand how you can make it 30 years, because I've seen so many not make it. And you're talking about how it's difficult to be a principal, and I was thinking, like, this is the only type of principal I would want to follow, you know, of a Christian school, because otherwise you're not going to make it. The doors will shut. You'll get bitter. The teachers will get bitter. The staff's upset. Conspiracies. It's like, of course. It's like, but God and but this type of spiritual leadership. So I just, I'm really blessed by it. I really appreciate it.
God helped us all, right? It's our memories. I think it was women, this particular Bible study is very important. Our memories tend to be stronger than men's, which they will tell us, you know, because we'll be like, that's the 15th time you said that, done that, whatever. You know, we're very, we know the number. You know, we said this, we told you this was going to happen. You know, we have a lot of that. We have good memories on the whole. This is Bible study is important because we want to put the good to that memory. You know what I mean? We want to remember those things or the goodness out of something. Just because something happened in the past makes it a fact, but it doesn't make it the memory. You know, because Christ died 2,000 plus years ago, and that's a fact. But for us, every time we think about it, when we're spirit-filled, what a memory that is. What a memory that is. But it's a fact. Someone else, I could say, hey, you know, so-and-so in your family died, and that's a fact. But for you, it's not a fact, it's a memory. So we want to do that even with each other. Like, okay, the fact is a person did do that for the 150th time or for the whatever time. All those are facts. But what am I going to choose to make the memory? maybe I can definitely choose to remember forgetting that. Or I can definitely just love. I remember that. Some people have said that I have a selective memory, and I think I do. But I think that's has kept me. Because I don't really necessarily want to remember the other stuff. So why bother making sure that that stays with me? I don't need the facts. I need the memories. And we have such finite minds, I think that God would have us to have certain memories and blinders on. You know? Otherwise, I'll find myself just gathering and the facts and telling everybody the facts. I want the memories. With each other, with each of us, remember that. The memory is key. Sometimes I imagine myself, even with most of you in this room, I imagine myself 10 years from now, and I say to myself, what do I want the memory to be? I would love it to be that we've been through things together, we stuck it out, that we watched some kids grow up to be incredible men and women of God, that we have had an impact, that we're walking together with God. When I was at that shower, it was Laura's shower, who's been here, who's getting married. It was, for me, it was a memory. For most, I believe it was a shower. For me, it was a memory. The reason was, I sat in a room, and I sat with giants. People that I remember from 20, 30 plus years ago, and I remembered all of the places that they've been. Mission fields and all of the things and battles that they've been through and whatnot, and I remembered. So my bridal shower, I may even forget it was a shower, that's the way I think. Someone will say it was a shower, I'm like, no, was it? But I'll remember that. I'll remember those the people, because I just, you know, we fought some battles. We fought some battles. Desire, I was thinking about just before I was going to do this Bible study, I like war movies and war history and documentaries, and my favorite style is when they have the old World War II veterans and they're talking, somebody's interviewing them, and then they reenact it like a movie as they talk. That's my favorite style. And I like that, because there are these veterans sitting around kind of like this, and they are just talking. And they have these memories, but they're so pure. They'll say things, we fought for each other. Well, you know, Johnny, and he talks about Johnny like he's a little boy, and Johnny's 80, you know. Well, you know, Johnny, but there's just something about it. It's fresh. There's no bitterness. There's what have you. And these people have seen such horrific things in war. And they're heroes. And they're with each other, and they appreciate each other. And when I'm at the Vietnam War Memorial or the World War II one, you see these guys, and they just kind of look at each other, and there's an appreciation. They have a memory. You can say all the facts you want to, but the memory is more important. Like, let's not try to be good detectives. The facts don't really do much. Because the fact is, we'd all not be here if God remembered the facts. But the memories, they're cool. Because you can sit around, just like, for instance, this is a new memory for her, but some of us can sit around here and talk, oh yeah, I remember last year, whatever, and we could talk about that time, or this that happened. And it begins, and that's what I tell the kids. I said, you're making memories with each other. You will remember them on these type of trips for the rest of your life. But you won't remember necessarily like the details of the trip. You'll remember the memory of the trip together. Remember when we went to South Africa. You don't even remember like the crazy whatever. Someone could bring it up, and that's not about it. It's just like that we did it, and that I remember from that trip, you know, painting a room and making this thing different for this widower. You know, just these type of things. The memory is you decide what you want. It's like a buffet. Leave the stuff you don't want. Take the good. All right. You know what? That really hurt me, but it drove me to God. And I thank you for that. That, what you said, nearly leveled me. But it sent me to God. So I thank you for that. And you don't even know why. Someone will be like, why are you smiling at that person? You do remember, like, and maybe, or the, but I remember the memory that I have now. So these are the things. Forget the facts. A lot of bitter people know all the facts. And why they shouldn't be talking to relatives and other people. And, you know, in fact, they have to rehearse them. You know, PTSD is post-traumatic syndrome, whatever. And one of it, it's like you're rehearsing the thing over and over again. So you're rehearsing the facts. But the facts or just facts, the point is being missed. I hope people counsel correctly with that. It's the good. And then I might have to wait for that. I'm not saying you get it right away. I mean, you have to wait for that. And that's what you rehearse. And so everything else just becomes a distant past. And there are things, honest to God, there are things that people tell me, like, how do you remember that? That was such a crazy whatever. And I'm trying to remember what they're talking about. And I literally don't know what they're talking about. Give it time. It can be that. And it's just because there's good in it somewhere. And I don't want to end up my life a bitter old person having all the facts down. Fact is, when you guys did this, and then you did this, and you did that wrong, and then you did this, and whatever. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Now, does that help you? Or are you still lonely? You know? God chooses to think that way with me. He chooses my fellowship despite the facts. He says, I remember your time when you were young and I remember when you did this. And I'm thinking, oh, that's nice. I have 15 things I didn't do. Now he can, and you and I can because of Calvary. God doesn't do it because he's an idiot. He doesn't do it because he is not just. He does it because that's what grace is. The ability. Calvary gave God permission to give me as much attention and love in that area as I can contain. That's what Calvary did. Jesus Christ paid for the sins so that he could have the fellowship.